Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you're in time for another episode of another edition of Spiritual Perspectives.
There is no greater love, no greater love than the one you have for me, Lord. There is no greater love, no greater love than the one you have for me, oh Lord. There is none greater. Your mercy is so tender,
erasing my transgression.
There is no greater love, no greater love than the one.
That is so true. No greater love that anyone in all the world has for us than the Lord Jesus Christ.
No greater love, yeah.
No greater love than the one you have for me, Lord.
There is none when you died for me. Yeah. Oh, mercy.
So tender.
Erasing
my transgression.
There is none.
No greater love.
Yes, indeed. No greater love, no greater love, truly no greater love that the one who was sinless came to this world, showed us how to be obedient to the Father, gave up his life, dying for us that we would not have to be eternally separated from God, dying for us so that by his grace, because of what he has done for us, we can spend the rest of our lives living with God. God in us, as God, the Holy Spirit, comes inside of us when we submit to the Lord Jesus and accept him as our master and as our savior. God, the Holy Spirit, living in us for the rest of our lives, for the rest of our lives, even though we will still be imperfect, even though we will still commit sin, even though we will still be flawed. God, the Holy Spirit, in his great mercy, lives inside of us anyway, and continues to motivate us, to empower us, to enlighten us on the way towards perfection. Until finally it's time for us to leave here and be brought into the presence of God himself. What a beautiful day that will be. What a gorgeous day that will be. What a day worth living for. What a day worth dying for. What a day. Salvation is what we're focusing on. Now, we had been talking about salvation, and I just kind of wanted to give a little bit of a backdrop from the Old Testament coverage of salvation. I'm not going to try to finish that. I'm not going to go through, you know, everything we can say about salvation from the Old Testament perspective, which is basically the same as the New Testament perspective, just maybe approached from a different angle or from different angles. One of the things that we did point out, though, is that the Old Testament definitely does link salvation with the forgiveness of sins. We wanted to make that clear. Because one of the things that we'll find out is that a very important link in the New Testament is a link between salvation and the forgiveness of sins. That is not the only link, but that is the most important link. Why do I say that? Because if a person has a body that is completely whole, completely healthy, has no problems with it whatsoever, let's say their spine is in perfect alignment. They have perfect balance when they're standing on their feet. Perfect vision, 20/20 vision each eye. No problems with the optic nerves. I mean, they are truly, truly healthy from head to toe. Great, great shape. Very, very fit. I mean, truly in excellent health. Excellent physical health. No, I mean, this isn't a big issue for some people, but for those who don't want a bald head, they have a head full of strong, healthy hair. The toenails and the fingernails are in great health. I mean, excellent physical health from head to toe. a person can be in perfect physical health and still not be received into heaven when they leave this earth. How about if a person is very, very healthy financially? Very healthy. Let's say that this person has no personal debt. Their home is paid for. They have three automobiles. All of them are paid for and in excellent condition. They keep their automobiles maintained. They have no credit card debt. They have an American Express card, and when they use it, they pay it off within 30 days without exception. Between savings, checking, and checking accounts, plural, they have $200,000. $200,000 in savings and checking. And investments, $3.5 million. No, let's say $10 million. $10 million in investments. I mean, they are truly in excellent shape financially. What if that same person is the person who is in such excellent financial health is also the person who is in that excellent physical health that I described earlier? What a great place to be. But isn't it interesting that we can be in excellent health financially and in excellent health physically, but still not be received into heaven when we leave this earth? How about this? How about if a person is, well, let's just look at some descriptions of some people in Hebrews chapter 11. They're talking about some of the saints of God as they're describing them, and they say they went about in sheepskins and goat skins. These people were living in poverty. They went about wearing sheepskins and goat skins, not the most luxurious material, expensive material that you can use to make your clothes. Sheepskins and goatskins, destitute. The Bible says they were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. I'm reading to you from Hebrews chapter 11, second sentence in verse 37. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were the people of God being described here. Yep, people of God being described. As a matter of fact, remember now, at the beginning of this chapter, remember how it begins. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. The ancients were commended for. It described these people of God and how they lived, and went on to talk about some great success stories, some stories that even address how people of God were wealthy, like Abraham. The Bible keeps talking about faith, and it keeps talking by faith, by faith, by faith. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. All these people were still living by faith when they died. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. And on he goes, the writer of Hebrews, talking about how by faith these people lived. These people of God conducted their lives. He was still talking about how there were so many people who through faith lived in a way pleasing to God. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. According to Hebrews 11 and 38, Hebrews 11 and 39 says these were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. They did not receive what had been promised. Yet they were commended for their faith. And they were included in this chapter on God's faithful people. So here we have a very, very clear account of people who were not doing well financially at all. We know that for a fact because the Bible says they were destitute. Tells us how they were living. They were not doing well financially at all. We can only guess as to what was happening with some of them when it comes to physical health. If they're out there destitute, living in caves and in holes in the ground, it wouldn't be surprising at all if some of them were fairly sick people. But they were commended by God for their faith, received into heaven when they left this earth. So my point is this. We can indeed be very, very well off financially and physically and not be received into heaven when we die. We can be very well off spiritually, though, and be in bad shape financially and physically and be received into heaven when we leave this earth. The plan of salvation is what makes all that possible. Of course, another scenario. Any combination of what I just talked about. We can be in great health, physically, financially, and spiritually, be received into heaven when we leave this earth. We can be in great health, financially, and spiritually, be received into heaven when we leave this earth. We can be in great shape, physically and spiritually, still be received into heaven when we leave this earth. The key is to be in good shape spiritually. To be in good shape spiritually. Holmans says that Christ's saving work involves already completed and ongoing and future saving activity. Now, I think that as we talk about this, it's going to help clarify some things for us. Christ's saving work involves already completed work, activity, ongoing activity, and future saving activity. Do we have a role at all to play in this plan of salvation? If Christ's saving work involves already completed activity, is there anything for us to do?
No greater love than the one you have for me. Oh, Lord.
so tender.